He said, good afternoon. My name is Julie Fedorchak, and I am with the Public Service Commission. We're on the 12th floor of the State Capitol, gathered for a work session on case number PU-20-422. This is about our rules, some rulemaking proposals we have in front of us, and I'm going to ask my colleagues if they have any opening comments. Do either of you have opening comments today?
No, I do not.
Nor do I, thank you.
All righty. Then I'll turn it over to our legal beagles, Jack Hsu and Brian Johnson. I think you're up, Brian.
I am. So I was working on the order for submitting rules to the Attorney General, and going through the comments, I kind of ran into basically a situation where I needed to get some guidance from you guys. So that's why I kind of requested that that we have this. So just the we'll get one easy one out of the way first. So in changing the number of copies that are provided, I know we've talked about it being three. I know it's been zero. I think it's currently at zero. What number do you guys want it to be? Do you want them to – do we just – have it at zero and just request them and they give them, or would you like to have a set number of copies coming in?
Of?
For citing
applications?
Citing applications. And I can't remember if does that affect any other things, but I think it's just the citing application.
It's just
for now, yeah.
Well, I know I want one.
I would prefer a paper copy too. Then do we need one? No, we get that electronic for our records. I don't know if staff would like a paper one for review.
I usually prefer a paper one. It seems to be easier to get through. So I think it's currently at 10, so.
Do you care? You prefer electronic, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I do not.
Want one?
Do not desire. I have no desire for a paper copy.
It is for the purposes of how they know to I guess, administer how the process is being administered. I think for the purposes of having a future commission, possibly, where three commissioners may want a paper copy, it would make sense to have one paper copy for all the staff as well as the filing system, as well as one for each commissioner.
Just make it so four.
Go from 10 to four.
Well, yeah.
Or you could just switch it in 6 years.
We could go through the whole process to change the number again.
Yeah, the
there might be times when two owners. Staff people are working on it too and whatnot.
All right. Or it could be 12 years.
Could be
eight.
I guess for me, normally I could get it after our staff is done with it. They need it first before I do. I just need it to get caught up. So.
Well, and it is possible to look at it online. It's pretty easy, actually, if you aren't taking notes and stuff.
So. So four is a good number?
Yeah.
Okay. We got that out of the way. Next one, I don't think we'll go with that easy, but.
What page was that on? I just wanted to make a note here on the paper copy.
Just put Tuesday.
Sorry, if I just interject quick.
What's that?
Interject just quickly.
Go ahead.
So there's one other area in the administrative rules where it specifies a 10-year plan and that they have to file 10 copies. Is one copy fine for that? I don't think that's something we have to for hearing prep.
I think so. That one gets put into the docket, and that's that.
So one copy, you said?
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that's how it's currently drafted, is a 10-year plan. So actually, the way it's written, as soon as we go to electronic docketing, they could just file it electronically, I'm assuming, as well.
That sounds good.
Okay,
so. What are we going to do without having to throw away six entire copies of the applications every time?
I don't know. The recycling bin's going to get a lot lighter.
Well, when I was making a new file for all the paperwork in the case that we kind of talked about in our meeting earlier today, a while back, it was sure handy having some big binders back there to put all that stuff in.
True. We do have lots of binders. I always encourage people not to purchase more binders. All right, Brian.
Okay, so the next one is in regard to the 2 nautical mile setback for the ICBM missile sites and ICBM launch control facilities. This is the one where we received a great deal of testimony, and I can kind of, or and feedback, so I can kind of go through some of that with you. We received Next Era presented. I can't remember if anybody else presented that day. We received comments from WIND, AWEA AWA, and PCR WIND. The PCR WIND actually, I think, just kind of said, yeah, what they said, and we agree to that. They believe that the Siting House process is adequate and that we shouldn't move forward with an avoidance area, and that if we did move forward, it should be an avoidance area and not an exclusion area, which we've been at avoidance area, I think, for a good deal on this. And some of the other comments are also that they're asking for a waiver from the Department of Defense to satisfy the requirements to be built in the setback, and to be clear that the setback is for vertical structures only. I guess that's something I hadn't considered. You know, is this? It's a. I believe it's, if the math is done right, and I did it, so it might not be, but it's around 12.4 square miles that's encompassed in this 2 nautical mile setback from the ICBM site. So to have it as an avoidance area, it maybe should be clarified that it be for vertical structures only. And then the normal other avoidance areas would govern whether or not it's a something where they'd have to move it for cultural resources or things like that. But it would make sense to make sure that it did apply to vertical structures.
I had that one on my list that I think we definitely would want to do, because there's nothing wrong with them plowing a connecting cable in between. And I think also we could take another concern that was issued to us off with that. If we define vertical structures as, I don't know what, I suppose something that's a foot high is a vertical structure too, but something of some significant height, so I don't know how you would define that, but I think you know what I mean.
I do.
Then I believe it was NG Renewables who wasn't thrilled about this, but said, if we are going to, it should just be wind conversion facilities, not solar. But if vertical was, like something that's 50 feet high or more, then solar farms wouldn't have this problem anyway, so that would solve their problem.
Well, I think solar would end up being an issue as well, because if you look at a solar array, if you built solar arrays around these, you would also preclude the ability for the military to respond and adequately defend their assets, because now you got to run through the rows of solar towers trying to get to whatever's going on at your missile site. And I would assume that would impede and impact landing a helicopter to also put troops on the ground for something like this. So I don't know that solar should be carved out. That's just my thoughts on it, though.
Well, the solar, though, isn't much of a flight obstruction. Maybe there needs to be a setback from the ground, on the ground, but the solar panels are real low, and so I feel like solar should be a separate issue that they bring up.
Well, they do use helicopters to insert troops physically onto the location.
Yeah, I understand that, but the solar panels aren't going to obstruct a helicopter from flying in. They just have to have a place to land. So you'd need a setback on the ground for that. But 2 miles, I think, would be excessive. You don't need that much space to drop a helicopter. They put them on the top of a building here,
They do, but I think, again, if you have landing pads, then bad guys know exactly where you're going to land. So I'm just trying to think through everything that the military's spoken to us about. But I agree, if it was not designated and wide enough, then, that's something that would probably work.
It's also a difference in that out of the, 12.2 square miles is in that area. The pretty sizable solar farm that we already approved was only a little over a half a square mile.
Okay.
So that still leaves them more than 11 square miles to fit the installation with, so.
Well, this impacts not just solar, though, every sort of site of facility refinement plants and everything, the way it's currently drafted. Yeah. I think if we're going to move it, we'd actually to what you guys are saying, what the commission is saying. We have to put it probably into sub four, the additional avoidance areas for wind energy conversion facilities. If we wanted it solely to apply to wind facilities, I think that seems like that would be the approach to take.
Yeah.
I mean, unless we think we want to try to address all those. But I think in the discussions that we had with the military, their only concern really was that they provided was the wind facilities.
Yeah.
Which this one thing I did kind of want to bring up as well. And Brian, and you can answer this question. I know you went through all the comments and I didn't see anything. Did we have anybody show up and provide any testimony or comments in favor of this 2 mile setback? I mean, I know we contacted everybody. We reached out to the military, DOD, clearinghouse, and nobody did provide any comments in favor of this.
No. Right,
so this was essentially off an on-record discussion, which we can promulgate rules like that and we can go forward. But this seemed like they expressed an interest before. It didn't seem like there was a very strong interest, and they had every opportunity to call in as well. And I think that's something worth considering. And I did also want to take a step back and really think about what we're trying to accomplish with this rulemaking. I mean, there were concerns regarding the military, the ICBM sites, military operations. If we really just want to make sure that those concerns are adequately addressed and they have an opportunity to provide input in throughout the siting process, and in fact, early notice and input, it seems like we could probably address this a separate way rather than essentially carving out a whole big area of the state everywhere around ICBM sites. And I'm just throwing it out this for other options for commission consideration as well. If we want to make sure that we already changed the agencies to be notified, so now the 23rd Air Force Wing, the clearinghouse, they were added as well, a number of other groups. If we did add it as a selection criteria, that would require the company then to come in on the upfront and make that an evaluation. We wouldn't have to limit to ICBM sites. We could just say military operations. And they could say, well, we reached out to the 23rd Air Force. We reached out to the Minot Air Force base, every group that may be involved, including ICBM sites. And we received notice that things needed to be moved around, and we subsequently made the changes, or that no sort of response was provided as well. Mm-hmm. So if we are looking at just making sure that the military's concerns and their impacts are addressed, I just want to point out that there may be another way of doing this aside from avoidance and exclusion areas as well.
Yeah. I think that's worth considering, Jack, because I was really disappointed that nobody from the military showed up to speak.
Right.
I mean, they clearly have followed us in the past because they've showed up to other hearings, and so I don't know what to make of their lack of presence.
I can offer a thought on that. So you have local command, which expressed the concern. And then you have the Department of Defense. And then you have to factor in the chain of command. And when local command showed up, they weren't exactly on the same page as the Department of Defense, which the clearinghouse, which said it's okay. So it puts them in a very awkward position. There's a chain of command.
Who said military. It was okay?
If my recollection is, from our discussions, the groups that really were pushing for the 2 nautical mile setback, it was the DOD and the clearinghouse is separate. They were in favor of it as well. As well as the 20th Air Force Wing, so it was the high ups in the command. It wasn't the local groups,
right? So if the Department of Defense, Department of Defense, if they say it's okay, that is the chain of command. So I'm not surprised that local command did not come back in.
But I don't. The higher ups didn't say anything. Did they ever sign off on our approach here? They basically said we want 2 miles, and then they left, and we didn't hear from them again.
So that was Lieutenant Colonel Toomer, and there was a couple of JAG officers that we had been working with as well. When I reached back out, I believe Lieutenant Colonel Toomer is still in his position, but there was a complete changeover in the JAG officers. And I reached out to get information so that we had the name right going in for who gets notified. And I maybe got one response back saying that I'm new and taking over for, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but that was the last I heard, even after I'd sent out another request. So I really don't know.
Is there a disconnect between the locals and the regional on this issue?
Well, I'm assuming they're not contradictory, but the fact that we did our last rulemaking and the local Minot Air Force Base, they came in here with the concerns. And then the 20th Air Force Wing, which oversees them, came in with a whole separate. This was
different.
The 20th thing out of the, I mean, the show demonstrates some sort of disconnect. But even aside from Brian's conversations and his reaching out as well, I know I had shot out multiple emails out to who I felt would be interested as well, just to in addition to our notices that we sent out. And I did speak to someone from the DOD, so they were aware of it, and they said they were trying to reach out too to see if there's still an interest in testifying. And I anticipated that someone would show up, because who'd be better to address the impacts to the right. to the operations, other than not just the local, but even the 20th Air Force Wing and the DOD. And I guess we did not have any sort of comments regarding that matter.
Well,
doesn't mean they don't exist, but
no, but you know, we can't just make assumptions. We can't make a final decision based on assumptions.
So one of the, I believe it was, so Russo is probably quite, knows more about this than anybody else. Their comments really was that they wanted a postponement for a larger stakeholder. They also wanted a carve out for their already, because they had already gone through the process and got this out. And part of theirs was too, like, look, we did go through the process. We worked with the military. We were able to address their concerns, and the clearinghouse process works. So maybe the disconnect is that the clearinghouse process was not, it's maybe somebody in the military was not, there's a disconnect there, and that's why things were missed in other instances. I don't know, but a lot of the comments were the clearinghouse process is there, it works, we don't need to do this. So,
I mean, my concern with this is it has a huge potential landowner rights infringement when we're carving out 12 miles around every tower for potential unavailability for wind development. Now, I think it's important to have the right precautions in place for the military operations, obviously, but I don't know how to get there, because it feels like a circle. You know, the clearinghouse, I don't have great confidence in that system, but I don't know if there's a better one.
Well, I guess to speak to that, and I know Brian would be able to speak to this as well, regarding the Russo Wind and the other wind farm discussions, when the military came in, and granted, this is just staff's general knowledge on these things. It's not that they came in here, provided any testimony regarding this. It seemed that their concern was that they were getting involved, but they're getting involved late. Mm-hmm. And so they decide this is where the projects are going to go, this is where they are, and then all of a sudden they'd ask the military to get involved and say, you can't put it there. And then everything would be kind of an ad hoc late in the game, shuffling things and moving things around just to meet the bare minimum. The reason why I brought up the selection criteria is it would require them up front of the game to make those planning steps in order to even address the application and the front part. So it would give them advance notice. Mm-hmm. It'd give them input further in advance as well.
Them being the developers?
With them being the military.
Oh.
From the developers.
Right. So by the time they're going to file an application, they have to give us an explanation of what did they do to alleviate the military's concerns regarding the placement of these facilities, rather than going through the process after the fact. The clearinghouse comes in after it's already been cited, and now they're trying to get amendments and move stuff around. And if I'm not saying that correctly, Brian, feel free to correct me. It's been a while since we had this discussion.
I think that's absolutely right. There's obviously people are unhappy, obviously, but I think that is a definite way that this is addressed and enhances and furthers what the clearinghouse is doing anyway. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's before it would go to the clearinghouse anyway, so it actually might even speed things up at the clearinghouse if they've already discussed it at the local level. That may or may not, I don't know. That's Pentagon-run program. I'm sure there's a lot of things that slow it down, but that might be something that aids in those processes getting through the clearinghouse sooner as well.
But would you say that even, say, not even the clearinghouse process, other concerns aside, flight routes, training routes, and so forth, I mean, if they have it early in the process, and this is, again, an assumption, it seems like that would be, if they had notice ahead of time, and they'd be able to provide input, they would be able to come into the siting process, provide comments saying, well, this whole location, they shouldn't have anything,
yeah,
because this is a common area of concern for us, or...
Right.
Or they could come in into a siting hearing and even say, listen, they should not develop within 5 nautical miles of an ICBM site, and we'd be able to consider that and why.
Yeah, or preferably they would have had those conversations and a record of them leading up, so that by the time it gets to us, if the developer still hasn't addressed them, then it's like, okay, you knew about this 3 years ago. Why did you go forward knowing that these were serious concerns? My only hesitation with this approach, and I don't know that we can fix it, is that how do we know that the information from the developer got to the right people to have the sign-off, the right people at the military? It feels like that's been a source of some problems.
I think that's a good question. I think the best that everybody can do with most of these federal agencies, if you recall working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, you can contact them. You can't get them involved, though. You can't force them to be. That was a struggle in the past. But at least there would be a track record. They have to provide all the correspondence, as the rules and law requires, that they would have with the military on the interim. They could say, we reached out 6 times in the last 2 years providing them site maps to try to get some input on this, and there was no answer.
Yeah.
And they'd subsequently still have to go through the clearinghouse process regardless, but...
Isn't there an easier way to frame this up? Because when we list on these rules the agencies to contact and offices, et cetera, we have 32 military aviation and installation assurance siting clearinghouse. We have the 20th Air Force, 91st Missile Wing. I think those are both appropriate. I mean, does number 32, the clearinghouse, is that synonymous with Department of Defense? We have to add that. You know, if we notify the military, and make no mistake, there was a difference of opinion, but there's also a chain of command. And I wasn't there, but sometimes you're told to stand down because it's, okay, so I'm just going to leave it at that out of respect for local command.
Sure.
Well, it is, but, you know, at the end of the day, aren't we just ultimately for these facilities, don't we just want to know that the military is okay with it? Isn't that what we're really getting at here?
So how
do we roll it up in a simple, streamlined format?
Well, that's what
not on us.
Sure. Well, that's what the setting process is for.
Right.
We have a record. We know everyone who's concerned. In the past, I can say the Minot Air Force Base has engaged in certain facilities, whether it's underground transmission lines. I mean, areas of their concern that impacted their operations. So I guess regardless of the chain of command, it's not like we haven't received input when it impacted local operations, too.
Sure. One of the comments to the name changes was that we should eliminate the Department of Defense, considering the clearinghouse and the missile wing would take care of it. But I don't see eliminating another agency, especially the Department of Defense, would be beneficial. I don't think it's overly burdensome for them to have to contact that be left in there as well.
But where at the Department of Defense? I mean, who do you send it to? My goodness, that's a hundreds of thousands of people work for the Department of Defense.
It seems like of all the military options, the wind industry, whoever made comments on this subject, all likes the clearinghouse option. You know, and so I do worry that that is in an organization that is so large that I don't think it's surprising that sometimes there are conflicting opinions out of it. I kind of worry that maybe this clearinghouse is a group that has shown signs of practicing some social and environmental governance and is maybe an easier sell. Frankly, whether if objection comes from the military, whether it's the department, someone representing the Department of Defense, someone representing the Air Force Base, someone representing the clearinghouse, regarding the safety of their installations, I'm going to be reluctant to approve a project, even if the clearinghouse or some other segment of the military has not objected or has approved. And so I think we got to do our best to figure out which institutions to send it to out of that bunch. And I guess I hadn't thought of this avenue with the selection criteria. I'm sorry, but it's a new thought to me. When I was thinking of where we were with adding this as an avoidance area, my thought coming in was that we do something similar to what's subsequent in these rules regarding transmission facilities. On page 21 here, we mentioned that this avoidance area may be waived by the property owner or controlling entity. And maybe because it's hard to get a response from a bureaucracy this large sometimes, maybe even we add in that no response is considered a waiver, or that we go the opposite way, that it's avoidance area if some segment of the military bureaucracy is objecting. But that was what I was coming into this thinking, that we build something into it so if we get pushback, and it's reasonable, and you know, all the, it's not like anyone gets a total veto over these things necessarily. The company always has the chance to overcome the objections, but that it would be an avoidance area if they're objecting.
I like that approach, but I think I like the selection criteria approach better, just because it triggers the conversation. The military can provide the information that they want on each site specifically and elevate it to the level of basically, you know, saying it can't be here, to we don't have concerns, or you may need a bigger setback or whatever. But that happens without creating a blanket avoidance area of thousands of acres of land in our state.
And this was something I kind of brought up to Brian, because it's partially after he had gone through all the comments, and that was the first question I asked, is, well, did we receive any expertise? I mean, we have our staff knowledge, right, but we didn't receive any expertise of the real purpose of this. And I thought taking a reasonable approach may not be to, I mean, we can always go forward and make an avoidance area in the future.
Right.
If we're seeing a consistent issue that's recurring. But it seems like it may be more of a reasonable approach when I was just kind of evaluating it, to kind of do an interim step and allow the opportunity without completely, on the front end, cutting out a whole area.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was kind of shocked when it came in through, like, the landowner, the Russo participating landowners. I think they said it was, like, 16.4, but I went to Victor and he helped me with the math. And I think it is 12.4, but
thinking nautical miles.
Well, with that two, if circumference of a circle is pi r squared, so when you figure that out at 2 nautical miles, it's pi times 2, or yeah, so it's like a 12.4 mile square mile around each one. That's how much land that eats up. And I mean, you think about a 2 nautical mile setback, it doesn't seem like that much, but that is a circle that goes around it. And when you think about all the land that encompasses, that kind of set me back a little bit too. I hadn't thought about it like that. So
I've seen the map. I don't remember when, but I saw it, and it's substantial.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. It, so I agree with Jack too. And I know earlier discussions we had talked about that an avoidance area allows for development, but I think realistically, if you look at it, and you're a wind developer, and you got to jump through a bunch of hoops to put one tower there, you're basically just going to avoid it at all costs, and probably just plan to not ever build within that either, which is probably doable as well, but creates some additional issues, and I think there is some impact to landowner involved in that as well.
And a good analogy of that is the critical habitat, native prairie, where you see it's not like this ever actually comes in front of us. They tend to plan around it before we even take a look at it.
So just going back to the selection criteria approach, would that be under B, 5B? And just an add-on to government services and facilities, including military installations? Or what do you envision? Or is it somewhere else and I just missed it?
Would it be under,
I think, C?
6906. 0801, and then if you look at 5, sub 5, that's the selection criteria, we'd probably put a...
Right,
that's right. Yep, yeah, probably put in...
Like 5B.
And we could put under probably C or make a separate E.
Yeah, okay.
Put it there, one of those two.
Right.
And provide some sort of definition, whether we want to leave it broader to military operations or if we want to make it specific to ICBM sites.
You know, if we push this information out to the right people, so the... You know, and I agree, the Department of Defense, yeah, where? but if it goes to the 20th Air Force 91st Missile Wing, if it goes to the Clearinghouse, I mean, we have to trust that they're going to raise an objection if something is
right.
Wrong.
You're right.
Otherwise... You know, we're guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it is. United States Department of Defense is listed under 21 already, so yeah. Apparently we're sending it somewhere.
I wonder where they get sent there. Pentagon.
I just don't know where, but we're sending it.
I don't think we send it. They send it, right?
They send it, correct, yes.
It's a long division.
I believe we actually send a notice as well. And I know Pat had recently, yeah. I asked if Pat would recently take a look at, within the last, when I say recently, the last couple of years,
yeah.
Take a look at those addresses.
All I want, you know, is a fairly yeah. reasonable assurance or a reasonable assurance that the military, the appropriate people, know that a project is being proposed and that they have the opportunity to voice any concerns.
Hopefully it's better than to whom it concerns, Pentagon. Washington, D.C.
You're still on that, aren't you?
The Department of Defense will cover all of the branches as well. And then the ones that we've added are specific to the Minot Air Force
yeah.
Base and the Missile House. Command. So I don't think it's duplication at all. But, I've had that issue when I have to send notice out on other things to even much smaller companies that trying to track down who you actually have to serve is difficult, and I can't even imagine what it's like at the Department of Defense to track that down. But
I think the biggest, actually, you know, the one group that we really can't, local command in particular, we just have to make sure that they received it. And if they receive it, the Department of Defense, you know, if that letter gets lost.
At least the locals have, I think the additions that we have address that and make sure that it's addressed locally. And if they have to, they probably know who to get a hold of.
And we're convinced that the 20th Air Force 91st Missile Wing is, in fact, who we want at the Minot Air Force Base and Grand Forks Air Force Base.
Brian, I think you were looking at the Grand Forks Air Force Base. Remember we had that discussion. Did that cover them as well?
I was looking into that, and at this right now, I don't recall where I ever ended up with that.
I think those things...
Double check.
We'll double check all these things. When we were having this, we were talking, speaking about whether to have this work session, we were really trying to get the general concept of where we wanted to go on the front end, and we'd subsequently, before a final order, do our diligence on the back end to make sure that we have the stuff right.
Good. All right. Is that the direction we want to go? Selection criteria?
The selection criteria.
I'm good with it.
I think it's the most... It's consistent with how we approach other.
Yeah.
I'll just say it's a new thought.
I'm
not saying I wouldn't contemplate it more and potentially change my mind, but it seems like a reasonable approach.
Well, it's not now. You can change your mind. It's we'll just draft for the purposes of drafting an order.
Yeah. Yep. And then I will double check as well on the Grand Forks Air Base and include that as well.
Grand Forks and Minot, make sure we have the correct contact division, not person. But.
Sure. I think that's where it ended up, as I was able to get direction, and it's a little easier based on even just the base's website to get the correct name to address the facility. I was struggling a little bit with that on the Grand Forks one, so it might just be I need to reach out and call somebody up there and say, hey, if we're going to include you on this, how do we list you so that the base gets notified of a process or a project so that you guys can provide input?
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
So did we settle on whether this applies to only vertical infrastructure or what type of vertical infrastructure?
I thought that was smart.
We
aren't saying what it is. It's saying they need to notify them so we don't have a specific.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
It removes the necessity for that to a degree.
Can we talk about. I'm sorry.
I think that resolves that question.
Since this just an overarching work session that.
On rules.
Can talk about anything in the rules?
Related to the rules that we promulgated.
To this set of rules.
Right. On number 31, the Federal Bureau of Land Management, I did have a question on that. What is the motivation to add them? And I'll be honest.
Sure.
Just from my own personal point of view, they're not always the easiest to work with.
Sure.
So there has to be a benefit, and I'm just curious what the benefit is.
I think this was a lot of these were additions from Pat, so if he's available, he can certainly speak to those. But I think my recollection is that there is a lot of Bureau of Land Management land in the state, which of course facility infrastructure could cross, and it just provides them notice that there could be some facilities crossing over their property, and if they have any sort of requirements or small particular items they want us to take a look at, they would be able to provide us comments, just like anybody else would be able to.
Right. I think just without knowing what the compelling reason is, because to my knowledge, there's never been a complaint. There's never been an issue.
Sure.
So I would lean toward not adding the Bureau of Land Management.
Sure.
Personally, just because I don't. There would have to be a driving force. Well, we need to do it because, I mean, think of all the facilities that have been cited all over the place over the course of time, and if it's never been an issue, is it inviting scrutiny that may delay projects and that they get caught up in red tape?
Sure.
Although that's been brought up, and I would hate to think that we someday approve a pipeline or something like that, and then they're ready to build, and now it turns out that it costs them a half a year or a year in delay because someone is able to appeal it because we never told this government agency.
They still have to have the federal permits in hand. That's a responsibility a developer would
undertake.
Well, if
it's on their land, but what if it's close to their land? I mean, I know we had a big deal with that transmission line that goes from Beulah to Tioga, and how not it wasn't on the federal, I don't remember what agency it is, the Grasslands or whatever, but they sure had a lot to say about how close it was going to be.
I believe Grasslands are managed by BLM.
So I sure, sure how it works. I don't think it hurts to include them, but
Department of Interior. Well,
they're going to know anyway. It's just whether they have an appealable issue because we notified all these others, but not them.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on if it's a state or federal grass.
Well, I would prefer that they're not on. But
well, I definitely hear what you're saying, Brian, and the concerns about delays, et cetera. But it feels like transparency is better. You know, just erring on the side of more transparency versus less. So I guess they're already, like, the reason why I haven't had any issues is I think that the companies are working with them pretty proactively. So whether it's in here or not, I think the companies are aware that they are a factor that they have to face and deal with. So
whether it's an easement or a permit.
Yeah, I don't know that it matters a whole lot whether they're included or not.
Sure.
But at least I don't object to adding them to our list, so that if, and it has happened, where we've gone through the list of who's been notified, and we were pleased that it was as complete as it was.
I would assume that the notification is probably the same letter, different titles and headers, so it's probably not overly burdensome for them to send one more to another agency.
No, it's just that whether it raises, you know, if they get involved in more stuff that causes. We also have the ability to say when it's issues that don't involve, you know, that are extraneous, we can say, sorry, we don't think that your issues are relevant here, and overrule them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their land.
I don't think staff had a strong opinion on it. It was just
brought
it up for your consideration.
I believe, according to my incredibly proficient mathematical skills, that I've been outvoted 2-1. So,
but during the night, huh? You might come up with more votes. I think I saw a box out there.
I could easily wind up at 3-2. Stay tuned.
That's right. We think we know the total, but I guess we don't. We never really do know the total number of votes available.
Not until the lights are out for at least a couple hours.
I just wanted to express my...
It's a good thought. It is a
lack of excitement enthusiasm over pulling more federal involvement into projects that are cited within the state of North Dakota. I'm just not eager to do that.
I do know we didn't receive any comments.
Especially with who knows what's coming down the road.
The only comments we received based on any of the names that were added to that section were regarding the Department of Defense being removed. Other than that, nobody seemed to have any issues with the list as it was. So there was no other comment other than one that thought DOD should be removed since it was redundant.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't.
But we're not going that direction,
no.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
I did hear a bit of commentary on the Bureau of Land Management, and the response was, why?
Yeah.
Like that. So, yeah. It's a good question. I don't think I like it either. So, but it's if it stays, it stays. So.
I'm surprised it isn't already on there. Like, I was surprised. When you look at the list, it's an obvious one that isn't. You know, I mean, all the other fish and wildlife and the other federal agencies are. All right. Anything else?
I think that gives me the direction I need to finish the order.
Can you go through the timeline now, Brian? Like, when we can expect to wrap these up, get them done, approved?
I will get working on it as soon as I can and get it to you guys as soon as possible so that we can move forward on it. Jack probably knows a little bit better. I don't know that unless if we get it in before February.
it would be more than likely too late to, yeah, it would have to be by February 1. It would have to be there, but that includes getting the AG approval process. So more than likely what we really are looking as the our deadline with AG approval process and everything right now would be May 1st. It has to be in on that date to make the July publication.
So we'll get it done, get it to the AGs, get it back. Make sure we get that done early so that we just all we have to do is be ready to get it over and on that next one so we won't miss another cycle.
It would be nice to get it done in February, before the end of February down, so they have plenty of time.
Yeah.
And we're not rushing.
Okay. I don't think this is going to be that complex to...
No.
No, it's actually much simpler now for me, I think, finish the order than it was before. I hit a wall hard trying to address everything with the comments, so it was
very
helpful to, and I think this will be a much easier direction to to move forward.
All right.
A majority of it is done already, so
perfect.
Quick question for you.
All right, I think that concludes this work session. Thank you. We're adjourned.